Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful summer Saturday out there. And man, you did so well. Here you are in church on a Saturday night. You know, we know there's a lot going on. There's beautiful weather out there. So many places you could have been, but you decided to be right here, and the Lord's going to bless you for it. Amen. Glory to God. It's good to see everybody. We just want to welcome those that are visiting Family Church here tonight. We're just so honored to have new faces with us all the time. We welcome you. Praise God. And of course, it's just a joy and an honor. Hey, we do have a welcome card right there in your seat, right there with you. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill that out, we certainly would appreciate that. Please know whenever you give us any information here at the church, it's not going to go anywhere else. Amen. That's as simply as we can put it. You know, these days, everybody's after your info, you know, because they want to sell it and peddle it. We don't do that here at all. And so you can share that information with confidence. It's a great way for us to communicate with you. There's some great opportunities to get connected to the church there. We have our text communication. How many of you received that this afternoon? Yeah, many of you did, if not most of you. You can sign up for our text communication service. I'm the one that personally sends that out, and so it's not a robot or AI or, you know, computer generated. It's not Chat GPT or anything, you know, shooting you a message. That's actually, you know, Pastor PT is actually PT, not Chat GPT. All right, some of you are trying to figure, it's me sending that message. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so there you go. Praise the Lord. And also we have our online devotional, if you'd like to sign up for that. Send you a Bible teaching right to your inbox. I'm the one that writes that as well. That's the article that goes into the Erie Times paper, also the Jamestown Post Journal as well. And if you want to sign up for that, you can. There's a space on the back there for prayer needs and requests. Please know every time you put down a prayer request, it does get prayed for. And the offering is going to go by here in just a few moments. You can just put that card right there in the offering bucket when it goes by. We'll be sure to get that. For those of you that are visiting, we know that God's got a plan for your life. We want to get you connected to His plan for you. Amen. And for our visitors, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We just welcome you. Church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's all of ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting. So glad to have you. Appreciate you being out here tonight. Praise God. I know we've got several families traveling. It's that time of year again. Praise the Lord. Isn't it? Is anyone else amazed that it's going to be July already? I know we say it all the time, but boy, time is really going fast. Who's ready for some announcements here tonight? Hey, just real quickly, don't forget our picnic and our water baptism is coming up just 2 weeks from tonight. And so that is Saturday, July 11th. We're having our church picnic. It's right here at the church property. We're going to have our large tent set up out front. We're going to have a basketball tournament. Water baptism, of course, is the most important, right? But there's going to be a lot of food and fun and games and prizes and all this great stuff that we do. And we will be having a communion service. So it begins at 4 p.m., the picnic, and then right around 6 o'clock or so, we will come inside, or maybe if the weather's permitting, we'll just have our service right out under the tent. We're going to be serving communion. There will be a shorter message than normal. I know some of you aren't quite convinced that that would happen, but yeah, we're going to serve communion. And so that is just 2 weeks from tonight, and we need folks to sign up to bring a dish to pass. You know, every year we've got several, you know, volunteers that are making dishes. That is just 2 weeks from tonight. So if you have not signed up and you could bring some food for us, we don't want to go hungry. Amen. Praise the Lord. So please sign up at the welcome counter. And don't forget, 1 week from tonight is the 4th of July. And so I'm sure some of you are wondering, you know, what the plan is. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we're just going to have church. Amen. And so we're just going to, you know, we're not going to, you know, reschedule the service or anything. I know a lot of people are going here, there, and everywhere. But Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in His name, He will be right there in the midst. And so we're going to have church. And so, but we, of course, we understand when people are traveling and whatnot. But if you're not going to be here next week, tonight is your last opportunity to sign up for the dish to pass for the picnic. Praise the Lord. So if you could please do so, that would be great. Also, over there at the welcome counter, our new ministry schedules are available. So if you serve in the Ministry of Helps, again, we just so much appreciate you. Your schedule is over there on the counter waiting for you. Church, aren't you glad for those that serve in the Ministry of Helps? Don't you think we should always honor those that serve? Amen. Praise the Lord. We just so appreciate it. And as the pastor, I greatly appreciate it. So if you could pick up your schedule, that would be wonderful. Well, everyone say announcements over. Who's ready for tithes and offerings here tonight? Yes, right? It's not the oh no part of service. It's the oh yes part of service. We love to give to God because it's not money that we're putting in these envelopes. It's honor, right? We're being a cheerful giver. We're funding the house of the Lord. Just think, by the time this weekend is out, there will be literally thousands of people that will hear the word of God because of your faithfulness. Because tithes and offerings, you know, sometimes people, they just don't realize it. Of course, it does keep these lights on. It does keep this local church going. But it's also funding our radio program. We're on 7 radio stations here in the local area, in this region, both in Erie all the way to Jamestown. And so that's getting funded by your tithes and offerings. Also, we have our newspaper articles that have circulations in the multiple tens of thousands. They say, you know, they give us the reports on that. They say bare minimum between those two newspapers, somewhere between 5 and 10,000 people, you know, read that Bible article. And that's funded by what? Your tithes and offerings. Amen. And so how many people are hearing that on the radio? How many people are reading that in the paper? How many people are attending this church and the Jamestown church? Amen. That is being done, of course, through tithes and offerings that we receive right in our services. Amen. Can you bring up Malachi 3:10? We'll just look at it real fast. Praise the Lord. How many of you know heaven notices what we're doing? Oh, boy. I don't know. I can't get into this too long. I don't want to preach the everlasting gospel during, you know, tithes and offerings. We're living in a day and a time. There is a whole sweeping thing taking place across the body of Christ right now. And unfortunately, a lot of it is coming from social media, YouTube, and things like that, that is promoting this idea that people shouldn't tithe anymore. Better be very careful about that, because the tithe, there's a blessing attached to it. God's plan is attached to that. You know, this was the prophet Malachi to the nation of Israel in the days of their backsliding. He told them to bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat or provision in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's a belief today that says the tithe doesn't exist anymore. Except it does exist. It very much does exist. You know, if you've ever wanted to read in the New Testament something very powerful about the tithe, go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 7. It talks about how Abraham brought a tithe to Melchizedek. And then he compares how they tithed under the Mosaic law. Now, in the law of Moses, they were required to tithe. They were forced to tithe. And, of course, that passage is making it clear that God wants us to tithe. He just wants us to tithe in the manner of Abraham. How many of you know Abraham did not have the law of Moses? He was long before the law. Abraham did it because he wanted to, because he loved God. It wasn't law telling him to do that. It was his heart telling him to do that. And Jesus said this. Remember when Jesus said this? He said, if you are the children of Abraham, you will do what Abraham did. How many of you remember that? Amen. And so, yes, our motivation for the tithe has changed. We're not motivated by law anymore, but we're motivated by loving God. Amen. And in Abraham, he came and he brought a tithe to the Lord. He brought a tithe to the to the house of God because he was declaring that God was his provider. Amen. And so be careful about all the winds of doctrine that are blowing through social media. You got to be careful. Let's pray as we give here tonight. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father God, we don't tithe because of law. We tithe after the manner of Abraham. Father God, that yes, the tithe is holy to you. Yes, Lord, you told us to bring the tenth part into the house of the Lord, and here we are. But Father, on the inside, our motivation is different. It's not law, it's love. Father, it's not, you know, because we're forced, it's because we want to. Lord, we just glorify you, we praise you. And Father, we just say that you're our provider in all things. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. We're going to continue now with our praise and worship. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. How many of you know that the offering that is being taken up financially, that's not the only offering we're giving here tonight, right? We're giving the offering of our praise and our worship. Folks, let's lift our voices and our hands. Father God, we just praise you tonight. We worship you, Lord God. We glorify you, Lord God.
We worship you.
We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Let's all just take a moment, just begin to worship the Lord right where you stand. Lift your hand. Father, we worship. We worship you, Lord. Nobody like you, Father. We worship you, Father. You are so wonderful. We worship you. We bless your name, Father.
You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard.
Together.
Stand in awe of you. I stand.
You, Lord God. Father, you are holy and good. Come on, everybody. Let's just enter in right here. Lift your voices. Lift your hands and worship him. Father God, we bless you. Lord, your word tells us to lift your hands in the sanctuary and to bless the Lord. Come on, everybody. Let's bless him. Let's glorify him. Father, you are holy. You are good. Father, you are holy. You are good. Father, you are holy. You are good. Reverend Tony, can we go back into that chorus? I stand in awe of you. Come on, church, let's sing this together.
I stand in awe. Holy God.
Father God, you are the Almighty God. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for you. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the faithful God. You're not the God of the dead. You're the God of the living. Father, you have put your life on the inside of us. That, Father God, that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. That we stand before you as your sons and daughters. We just worship you. We glorify you. Father, we praise you here tonight. Father, it is a great joy and an honor to be gathered in the name of Jesus in the house of the Lord. Lord, we know that you are right here in the midst with us. We just bless you. We glorify you. Father, we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost. We know that it is he that is the teacher of the church. He reveals and unveils the word of God to us. Lord, we can do nothing apart from you. But Lord, you are the vine, we're the branches. If we abide in you and you in us, we'll bring forth much fruit. But Lord, without you, we can do absolutely nothing. So Lord, be glorified in this place here tonight. Father, we say your word is glorified in this place here tonight. Your spirit is glorified in this place tonight. And we're going to receive it. We're going to be doers of the word. Father, we're going to receive it with joy here tonight. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Are you glad you're here in the house of the Lord here tonight? Amen. Are you ready for the word of God? Did you come hungry for the word? I tell you what, it matters how we come into church. Amen. And of course, it's always good that you're here. But the question is, what are you going to do once you get here? What faith are you going to bring? What praise are you going to bring? Amen. We want to be stirred up. Praise the Lord. Well, join me in your Bibles. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 36. And tonight I'm going to call this message the roadmap to God's highest and best. How many of you want God's highest and best in your life? Amen. Well, we're going to, over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about certain things, just the roadmap, steps that you can take to walk in God's highest and best. And I'm just going to say this, it's not hard. It's not hard, you know. It's not hard to walk in God's highest and best. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wants it for you. Praise the Lord. You want it for you. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it's in concept, it's not difficult to walk in God's highest and best. And we're going to start talking about that. Of course, I'm going to give you a little forewarning here. Tonight, I'm going to be keeping this message very simple. All right, very simple. We're starting at ground level. We're starting at square one. And over the last couple weeks, I've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Ghost. Please know that they're synonymous terms. I'm a King James guy. And of course, the King James was written back there in 1611. And so it uses some of that old Elizabethan English. And there are actually denominations out there that believe that there's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. No, the only difference is the year in which the Bible translation might have been written down. But they are synonymous terms in the Word of God. And we were talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we've been talking over the last several weeks about having the right heart and having the right motives. Amen. And wanting what God has for us and making sure that we have the right heart. I can't go through all the review. I've been going through a lot of the review every single week. And if I review the last couple of months, that's all we'll get to here tonight. And so if you missed any messages, we have those on our YouTube channel. You can look up Family Church Erie and you can get on there and get caught up. Praise the Lord. But a couple weeks ago, I started with a series, or this last few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I started with a message called The Power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we said this, we asked this question, who is the power of the Holy Ghost for? It's for those that'll desire Him. Those that want Him, those that long for Him. You know, Jesus said over there in John 7:37, the verse, not the airplane, right? That gets no laughs anymore. That one is burned out. We need to retire that one. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said this. He says, if any man thirsts, some of you are thinking, you know what? It didn't burn out. It never was funny. That's all right. Because you're correct with that. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said over there in John 7:37, He said, it says on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and shouted, and He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then verse 39 went on to say, but this he spoke concerning the Holy Ghost, who was not yet given at that time because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But has Jesus been glorified? Yes, He has. Has the Spirit of God been given? Yes, He has. Amen. And so we started talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said this, if you love me, you will follow or obey my commandments or my word. He says, then I will pray the Father that He would send to you the Comforter. You know, and first we were talking about, we've got to have the right motives, right? We want the power of the Holy Ghost in our life, not just to consume it upon our own lusts, just to get what we want. We want God's plan. We want His will done. Amen. And so we've been talking about having that right motive because it all comes down to motives. We cannot just seek the Holy Ghost because we want Him to be a problem solver. Listen, God is our helper. The Holy Ghost is our helper. He is our strength. But I'm talking about those that just, you know, sometimes, you know, life gets difficult on people. People get desperate. You know, people get hurting. And of course, it's always a good time to seek the Lord. If you're hurting, that's a good time to, you know, to go to God. Please don't misunderstand me. But I've seen, you know, as a pastor for 20 years, I've seen people that seek the Holy Spirit only to fix their problems. But what happens to these people as soon as the problems are gone? They are gone, right? And sometimes all we want is like, oh, Lord, just lift this burden, make my life easier. But I'm not trying to forge a path to the easiest life possible. I want to forge my heart to be faithful to God no matter what's going on. And that's who the Holy Ghost is. You know, because I'll tell you what, challenges are going to come and go. there's times that are going to be tougher than others, but I tell you what, we're not trying to forge the easy life. We're trying to forge the faithful life. And that's what the Holy Ghost wants from us. Amen. But sometimes we just think, you know, I just want him to be a problem solver. You know, several years ago, I was having lunch. There was this young man that was attending our Jamestown church. And, you know, he came into the church and his life was rough. He had vices and addictions and, you know, and all these things going on. And I just told him, I said, you know what? If you'll submit to the Word of God, if you'll get into, you know, God's plan for your life, first and foremost, get saved. Amen. And then, you know, get filled with the Word, get filled with the Spirit, get obeying the Word of God. I said, in 1 year, you won't recognize your life. I'd say that to anybody here tonight. 1 year, you will recognize your life if you give yourself fully to God's Word. I know many people here have done that. You know, and this guy, he did that. And he sold out to the Lord, you know, and it was true. I would say about a year or less, his life was radically different for the better. And then all of a sudden, I started to notice he started, you know, drifting. You know what I mean by drifting? You know, he was in church here or there, and all of a sudden he wasn't there, and there's once in a while, and all these things. And I just, you know, approached him. I said, hey, you know, I missed you. Where, you know, what's going on and this and that? And he asked me to get together for a lunch or something, and so I did. And throughout the conversation, you know, he was like, yeah, things are so good. God has blessed me. And, you know, I'm so glad this problem's gone, this addiction's gone, this relationship issue was fixed, you know, this is, you know, I've got peace, all this stuff. And I said, well, I just noticed, you know, you haven't been in church very much. He's like, oh, well, no. I mean, he literally said this verbatim, what I'm going to say to you. He said, oh, well, I mean, you know, the problems are gone. What do I need him for anymore? What do I need church anymore? See, you got to be careful. See, if you're just looking to the Lord only to be a problem solver, meaning if you just only want him to lift a burden, because you got to be careful. If that's what you're looking for, I'll tell you what, when you follow the Word and you get serious about God, those burdens will lift. But just because the burdens lift doesn't mean we should go away, right? Listen, you know, what we do in the good times when things are going well, it matters just as much as when, you know, things are difficult. Amen. It isn't about forging an easier path. It's about forging a heart that's faithful in the good times or the tough times. Are you here? That's the first step of walking with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week, I taught a message called The Holy Spirit and His Purpose. And we said this, the number one purpose of the Holy Spirit is to move our hearts and change our minds. And I know sometimes when we hear that, we think, wait, Pastor, the number one purpose of the Holy Spirit is to work miracles. Or the number one purpose of the Holy Spirit is to heal bodies. Or the number one purpose of the Holy Ghost is to, you know, help us speak in tongues. Listen, all those things just serve the original purpose, which is to move our hearts and to change our minds. The greatest force of the Holy Ghost, he begins with wanting to work on our character. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be obedient. You know, and the point I'm making, you know, is what good will the miracles be if your heart isn't obeying him? Because sometimes I see Christians, they'll be like, well, I want a miracle. I want a miracle. And what God's really trying to tell them is, hey, are you obeying me? You know, you got to go back to, you know, first things first. You got to obey him. You know, we can't just skip the obedience and try to get the miracle to get a quick fix. Are you here? You know what I mean? We can't just go for, you know, the supernatural and just say, well, I'm just going to, you know, hopefully that power will just fix everything and I won't have to do the rest. No, God cares most of all about the motives of your heart, your actions, what you think upon. Boy, and I know it's not exciting. You know, we could get people shouting way easier if we just talk about the miraculous side of the Holy Ghost. But remember what Jesus said over there in John 16, verse 8 and 9? He said, the Holy Ghost has come for these reasons, to convict the world of sin, right, and of righteousness and of judgment. All right. Those things are the things that move within the hearts of men. Ah, yeah, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'll get you on board eventually. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we looked at this last week, and also we saw that man's nature apart from the Holy Ghost is the nature of a criminal. That's what the scripture says over and over. Without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, humanity is a lawbreaker. Humanity is a spiritual criminal. That's what sin is. Sin is just a crime against God, right? Man without the Holy Ghost is rebellious. Remember over there in Genesis chapter 6 where God said, I have lamented that I even created mankind, for their heart, their imagination, and their thoughts are just to do evil continually. Remember when he said that? He said, their nature is just to do wrong. They're lawbreakers at heart. They're criminals at heart. And every single one of us, before we knew Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were criminals in front of God. But aren't you glad you're not a criminal anymore? You're a son of the living God. You're a daughter of the living God. Aren't you glad that you're washed by the blood of the Lamb? But the Holy Ghost had to come in and give you a new nature. And we're going to continue with that tonight. Go to Ezekiel. Go back there to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to start in verse 25. See, all the way back there in the days of Ezekiel the prophet, the Lord started to tell the Israelite nation exactly what he would have to do in order for us to stop breaking the law. All right. Look at this. Ezekiel, this is now hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever stepped foot on this earth, but yet this is a prophecy of what salvation would do through Jesus Christ. And of course, Ezekiel is talking to Israel and to the nation of Israel, and God is speaking through this prophet of God. And I've got to get my glasses out. Hallelujah. You know, aren't you glad for reading glasses? Anyone who's 40 and up, you'll know exactly what I'm referring to. Praise the Lord. He says this. He says, then he's prophesying about a time in the future when God would bring the Jews back into the Holy Land. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. He says in verse 26, a new heart also will I give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your body, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Notice, we needed a new nature if we were going to be able to obey God. Apart from the Holy Ghost, mankind can't obey God. We don't have the nature to obey him or to do what he says. And just for the sake of time, brother, can you drop down to verse 31? And he's still talking about this new nature he's going to give one day. He says, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your sins and for your abominations. He's talking about after you're cleansed, after you have a new nature and you have a heart that's tender towards God, you will loathe your old past life and you won't go back to it. He's not talking about living a life of condemnation. He's not talking about just, you know, blaming yourself for everything. He's talking about once you are redeemed, you will look at your past actions and realize how they were holding you back and so on. All right, now go back up to verse 25. Now we got to ask this question. Has this part of this prophecy, has the cleansing power of God, has it come to this earth? Yes, it did. He showed up in the form of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Aren't you glad? He was telling Israel, there's coming a day. He's like, I'm going to handle this. He said, I'm going to give you a new nature. I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of you. So finally, you can start obeying and submitting and yielding. Aren't you glad? But notice what he said in verse 25. We're going to go verse by verse here. Notice in verse 25, he says, I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water. He says, and then you shall be clean. And then he goes on to say at the end of that verse, he says, I will cleanse you, or I will cleanse you with water. All right. Here's the good news. You know, this has come to pass through Jesus Christ. Think about it. Where is that verse? It's, if you don't need to bring it up, and we're not going to bring these up or anything like that. I'm just going to mention them real quickly. You can jot them down if you want. But we remember, what is it? Ephesians 5:26. It says that we've been cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. So the washing of the water of the Word. Jesus Christ was called the Word of God, or the Word that became flesh. We remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3 in verse 5. Remember that? Jesus said, unless a person is born of water and of spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Boy, there's a lot of Christians that verse has confused them for a long time. They're like, well, you're born of water and the spirit? We understand what it means to be born of the spirit or born again. We understand that. But what does it mean to be born of water? Well, it's talking about the washing of the water of the Word. Remember in, what is it, John's Gospel, chapter 19, right in the right around the 30-something verse there, verse 34, somewhere like that. Remember when they were trying to expedite the execution of Christ and the other criminals that were around them? Remember that? And they were going to break their legs, and they came to Jesus, and they were going to break his legs, but they had seen that he had already died. Remember that? And remember that soldier took that spear. Remember, and he pierced the side of Christ. And the scripture didn't just say that blood flowed out. It said blood and water flowed out. Jesus, the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. The water of the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Blood and water flowed. This is exactly what Ezekiel was prophesying. He said, there's coming a day I'm going to cleanse you with clean water from the body that did not sin, from the Son of God that did not break my law, from the one whose heart was completely sold out to me. He says, then I will sprinkle you. And of course, if you were Jewish, you would understand that sprinkling and what that process looked like. You know, we today, we don't participate in so much of that, but they understood it. He says, I'll sprinkle you with this clean water and you will be clean from all your filthiness. Now that word filthiness means filthiness. It means sinfulness. It means your uncleanness. Now, to a Jew, they understand it wasn't just filthiness. God is saying that from the standpoint, this is what's keeping you out of my presence. Remember in the Jewish tradition, or the commandments of the Word of God, it wasn't just tradition. Remember how when the Jews became unclean? Remember when they were ceremoniously unclean? Leprosy made them unclean. And what would happen to an unclean individual? They were what? Removed from the camp. They were not allowed to go into the presence of God. They had to get cast on. That made them an outcast. God, when he told the Jews, he's like, I'm going to cleanse you so you'll no longer be an outcast. You'll no longer be separated from my presence. You won't be excluded. You'll be invited right into my presence. Glory to God. He's like, I'm going to clean you from your filthiness that is keeping us apart. That's what, see, a Jew would understand that. They couldn't be in God's presence until they were sprinkled. Remember all the instruments of worship? They could not even be used in the temple until they were sprinkled. Well, I'm here to tell you, you and I, we've been cleansed. We haven't been kicked out of the presence of God. We've been invited into the presence of God. He says, I'll cleanse you from your filthiness that's keeping us separated. He says, and then I will cleanse you from all your idols. I'm going to put something in your heart that is going to deal with the temptation of putting everything else in front of God. That's the Spirit of God. God's going to put his presence in you to make sure that he does not come last in your life. He's not going to allow anything to be more important than him in your life. See, these are the beginning foundational truths, the core essential truth of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is jealous for God, meaning he is zealous. He does not want you wanting and desiring anything more than God. Boy, that went over well. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to cleanse you from your filthiness that's keeping us apart, and I'm going to cleanse you from all the stuff that you put in front of me. And now look at verse 26. Oh, boy, praise the Lord. See, why am I telling you all this? Because this is what we should be looking for. This is what we should be looking for. Have you ever found yourself putting other things in front of God? Anyone honest here tonight? Okay, we got a few honest people. All right. Have you ever just caught yourself? You ever just caught yourself maybe, you know, getting distracted, drifting away, not being as diligent? Anyone else in here? Is there anyone who's actually going to admit that? All right. Yeah. but there's something on the inside that just pulls on you, says, nah, you're drifting. That's no. And there's something on the inside pulling you back, something on the inside reminding you, convicting you, talking to you. Hallelujah. That's what is he doing? He's making sure he's cleansing. He's letting you know, keeping you away from those idols and those things that you're putting over him. And then in verse 26, he says this. He says, I will put a new heart in you. He says, a new heart I will give to you, a new spirit I will put in you. I will take out that old stony heart, right? I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, meaning your body. He says, and then I will give you a new heart of flesh. What is he talking about here? Well, let me get to this for you. You say, well, Pastor, what is all this about? Hold on, I'm going to make a point here. In verse 26, he says, a new heart. He says, or literally synonymously, he's saying, I'm giving you a brand new nature. I'm giving you a brand new nature, and I'm going to put a new heart on the inside of you. Your old nature of being disobedient, your old nature of being resistant to God and being rebellious towards God, that old nature of being a criminal is going to be removed. God said he would take out that stony heart, which was a cold, hard, without feeling, selfish, indifferent, or without any interest for God. He's like, I'm going to take out that old cold, hard-hearted, indifferent, disinterested, rebellious heart. Amen. He's like, and I'm going to give you a heart that is tender. That's what the word, you know, he says, I'll give you a heart of flesh. He said, I'm going to give you a willing heart. I'm going to give you a sincere heart. I'm going to give you a soft and willing heart. I'm going to give you a submissive heart, a heart that wants to yield to God, a heart that wants to obey him, even when your brain and your flesh is fighting you hard. There's something on the inside. How many of you have a brain in here tonight? All right. How many of you have flesh, right? You brought your flesh and blood. How many of you learned that your mind and your body will gang up against your spirit, trying to get you to say things, do things, touch things, go a direction that you shouldn't go? But there's something always right in here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's something, that presence of God on the inside of you, wrestling with that flesh and that mind that tries to be the enemy of God. And that something on the inside of here just telling you, nope, that's not the way to go. Nope, don't do that. We need to start yielding to that. We need to start submitting to that pull of God in that nature that he gave us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said he would take out the stony heart, or the heart that is without feeling. Or you could say it this way, he's going to take out that calloused heart. He's going to take out that seared heart. You know what I'm talking about? The heart that has no feeling towards God, or is indifferent, you know, to God, or is disinterested. Have you ever seen a Christian who's just disinterested in God? Have you ever been that Christian before? Let's be honest. Hey, the good news is it is completely possible to yield ourselves and submit ourselves to God. Aren't you glad? Because why? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 27. He says, and of course he's talking about why he gave us the Holy Spirit. This is what God was going to do in the future. When Ezekiel was prophesying this, this was still hundreds of years away. But now we're 2,000 years after the fact. Are you here tonight? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You haven't gone on summer vacation on me already, have you? No. It's not the 4th of July yet. Praise the Lord. Here we go. He says, I will put my spirit within you. He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and I will cause you. That will be the reason why you will be able to walk in my statutes. You'll be able to keep my judgments, and you'll be able to do them. You weren't able to do them without the Holy Ghost. So what are we looking for here? This is the foundational, vital truth of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes you yielded, submissive, tender, sincere. Are you here? You know, if you're listening to the Holy Ghost while you hear your pastor preaching, you're hearing that word, and if you're yielding to the Spirit of God that has been given to you, you'll say, I want to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to obey that. You're not mad at the preacher for stepping on your toes. You're happy about it. You're glad to be corrected. You love the word because that's that nature. See, if you're ticked off because the preacher's stepping on your toes, you're living in here. You're living in the mind. You know, you're in the soulish realm or your flesh is mad. But if you're yielding to that nature on the inside of you that God gave you, you'll be glad to be corrected. You'll rejoice at the word. You'll do, oh, whoa, you mean serving in the church? Praise the Lord, sign me up. Oh, you mean tithing to God? Sign me up. Oh, praise and worship? Sign me up. Forgiving that person that hurt me? Sign me up. Come on now, are you here? It's fully possible to be completely yielded to God and not live in sin and disobedience. Now, I'm not saying that Christians don't make mistakes. We all have. I'm just saying it's possible. There's the ability to live free from bad decisions, sinful decisions. Are you here? It's possible. None of us are batting 1,000 with that. But I tell you what, it is possible. It's possible. I can yield to Him. You know, what does this tell you? The roadmap you're looking for is with you already. The roadmap to God's highest and best is in you already because it's in you via this new nature and the Spirit of God who is in you. Are you here? The Holy Ghost is given so we obey the Word. Or you can say it this way. The Holy Ghost is given so that He can melt that resistance. You ever felt yourself just resisting the Word? You know, hopefully you haven't, you know, if you've been a Christian for a long time, hopefully you haven't felt that, you know, too awful recently or anything. But it happens to believers where we just get a resistance. There's something on the inside telling you, you know, let that go. Go the way of God. Don't resist. Obey the word. Amen. God gave us His Spirit so we wouldn't resist the word, so we wouldn't rebel from God's way. Or you could say it this way. The Holy Ghost was given to us so that we don't get permissible with the world. Oh, let me say that again. So we don't get permissible, meaning that we become okay with the casual nature of the world. And I'm not talking about the way someone dresses. I'm talking about, you know, casual living, you know, or undisciplined living. See, the body of Christ today is getting way too comfortable because the world has crept into the church. And all of a sudden the world's getting into the church, and all of a sudden this generation thinks that it's just no big deal to have premarital sex and all that stuff. See, they're getting permissible to worldliness. You know, or they think nothing of it. You know, I'll tell you what, Christianity right now, across this nation especially, has got a drinking problem. Got a drinking problem. All of a sudden, Christians think it's just okay to go out and drink, party, and just be any other, you know, thing. I'm here to tell you, God hasn't changed His mind. He's not okay with that. Wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, and those that are influenced by such are not wise. John the Baptist was called a great man because he would not touch strong drink. So obviously, God called greatness not touching strong drink. He told us over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He told the minister, don't touch it. Can't be given to any wine. And so if God's, you know, purpose is for that for a minister, that's obviously His highest and best. Take it from someone who was an alcoholic. I was one. My last drink was 2003. Never went back to it. Got free. But the modern church just thinks that it's just okay. I'm here to tell you that's getting permissible with the world. Oh, boy. The Holy Ghost is here to keep us modest. The body of Christ should be modest. Are you here? Praise the Lord. See, this is what the Holy Ghost is first and foremost concerned with, meaning that, you know, we keep ourselves unto God, that we're tender and we are sold out to Him. Praise the Lord. And this is how we know we're in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, because we find ourselves, you know, being corrected by His voice on the inside. You know, we know that it bothers us. Listen, when we miss it, you know, God is merciful. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there should be something on the inside that should bother us when we miss it, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. There is that ever-present, you know, nature of God living on the inside, being our judge and our jury. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And then drop down to verse 31, and look what he said. Look at in verse 31. He said, you shall remember your own evil ways. He says, after you're cleansed, he said, your mind will remember it. Doesn't mean you got to walk in it. Doesn't mean you have to condemn yourself in it. All right. He says, you will remember your old ways, your doings that were not good, and you'll loathe that. Loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. He said, you will be humbled on the inside not to go back to that life. Yes. There should be a clear and evident change with a believer. The believer should not look like the world. The Bible says, what does Christ have in common with the devil? Remember? He said, what is light and darkness? What fellowship does light and darkness have? Remember when Paul was saying that to the Corinthian church? He said, God and the devil don't walk together. Light and darkness don't walk together. Are you here? Say, well, Pastor, this is just too harsh. No, it's not. Oh, believe me, God's standard is high. Why does it matter? Now I'm going to start telling you the roadmap. Are you ready? And we're starting general. We're starting big picture. You'll have to come back over the next several weeks to get the more specific steps, but let's start talking about it. Are you ready? Here is the roadmap to God's highest and best. It all, of course, starts with His voice, His nature on the inside of you. All starts right there. If you are not interested in the light of that new nature on the inside of you, right? If you're not interested in the Holy Ghost, if you're not interested in God's Spirit, you know, dealing with you, it's going to be very tough to get to God's highest and best. Let me say that again. It'll be impossible. It's impossible to fulfill the full plan of God without being led by the Spirit of God. You got to have Him. We got to have Him. Got to have Him. All right? Say, well, Pastor, get to the miracles. Get to the tongues. Get to the, you know, healings. Get to all this. Hold on. God's got to have His way first in your heart. He wants us, see, you know, we, you know, full gospel people or charismatics or whatever you want to call it, you know, sometimes we just run right to the miracles, right to all that stuff. But I'm here to tell you, you know, regardless of what denomination you come from, God wants the same thing out of all of us. He wants His word richly dwelling in our heart. He wants you to be tender and submitted and yielded to His word. He's not looking for, you know, he's not counting up how much time you spend rolling on the floor. Boy, that that went over well. Well, hallelujah, glory to God. But He wants to know what you think in your heart. How sold out, how submissive, how yielded you are. All right, here's the roadmap. Are you ready? Number one, here it is. This is the big grand step. Obviously, this is very wide in scope here. Number one, all that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do should be employed for the use of God. All that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do should be employed for the use of God. Father God, you know, this is a consecration prayer, and I mean it. I'm not just demonstrating it. Father, everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that I can do, I want it to be used for you. I want, Lord God, this is the roadmap to God's highest and best. When you are completely sold out, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. No resistance to the plan of God. No resistance to His word. Fully yielded, fully hungry, fully desiring God's highest and best. Are you here? Yeah. Yes, and we've got to work on this in the sense that we've got to, you know, keep track of this, make sure that we're doing this. Amen. So let's think about this. My spirit, and this is true, I'm just speaking, you know, figuratively now, what's the word I'm looking for? Rhetorically. My spirit belongs to God. My spirit belongs to Him because I'm spirit, soul, and body. And so I want to keep my spirit clean before Him. Amen. My spirit is the meeting place. It's the temple where I meet with my Heavenly Father. Amen. Keeping my spirit clean. That means I want to keep spiritual sins out of there. You know what I mean by spiritual sins? You know, there's a difference between spiritual sins and sins of the flesh. Okay, and believe me, sins of the flesh are bad, and don't get me wrong, they can absolutely hurt your relationship with God. But let's just give you some examples. Sin of the flesh, smoking cigarettes is a sin of the flesh. Don't do it. It'll hurt your body. Yes, God is not going to look favorably upon that. But there are sins of the spirit that you will be judged more harshly for. All right, for example, a sin of the spirit would be lying. All right, lying comes from the character or from the inside. You know, lying would be one. Lust would be another one. Unforgiveness is a spiritual sin. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's wrong to receive the grace of the blood of Jesus Christ and then refuse to forgive those that wrong and harm you. You know, unforgiveness is a spiritual sin. Lust is a spiritual sin. Sexual vice and impurity is a spiritual sin. All right? Are you here? And so my spirit belongs to God. I want to judge that. I want to keep it clean. I want to deal with those things. Amen? I want to walk in that cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Amen? Are you here? Hallelujah. All that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do is employed for the uses of God. I want to keep my spirit clean. Amen. Yeah, covetousness. That's another spiritual sin. Loving money is a spiritual sin, right? Didn't say you're not allowed to have some. God isn't against you being blessed. I'm here to say, but if you love it, and that's your biggest pursuit in life, that's a spiritual sin. Covetousness comes from the internal desires of our heart. We've got to be careful. Amen. Now also, my spirit belongs to God, but it is my responsibility that I develop my spirit. You know, we're supposed to, you know, the scripture says we're supposed to develop or grow our spirit. You know, what we could go into a lot of examples. Meditating in the word grows your spirit. Prayer grows your spirit. All right? Praise and worship grows your spirit. Obviously, being in the house of the Lord, hearing the word of God, growing your faith will grow your spirit. God is not going to do that for you. You're going to have to cultivate your spirit. The Bible says a quiet and meek spirit is of great value and worth in the sight of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, and you're right around the 4th to the 7th verse. You know, it says a quiet and meek spirit. It says, actually, there, it says, don't let yourself just be known for ornaments on the outside, but the ornaments on the inside, which is a quiet and meek spirit. Being quick to repent, quick to forgive. Yeah, right? Very slow to complain, slow to be bitter. Are you here? It is up to me to develop my spirit. It is up to you to develop your spirit through prayer, through the word, through meditation, to hearing the word of God, you know, preached, amen. To listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, that is up to you. That is your responsibility, amen. All that you are, all that you have, all that you can do. All right, now, we talked about spirit. What about soul? Think about the things of your soul. That would obviously be your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. All right, keeping your emotions under control. You know, praise the Lord. Not flying off the handle, losing your temper. Hello, Anyone ever lose their temper before? Yeah, oh yeah, well, we're supposed to keep that under control. The book of Proverbs says that a man who loses his temper is like a city with a broken down wall where invaders come over and destroy it. That's the picture in the book of Proverbs for those that lose their temper. Actually, Proverbs 19:19 says that a man of great wrath or anger will suffer financial penalty in the Greek, or the Hebrew, is what it says. Yeah, it does. It says financial penalty. It literally will cost you to get into that fight. That argument in your home with your spouse ain't worth it. Not worth it at all. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you understanding what I'm talking about here? Think about how money plays upon your soul, on your mind. Worry is one of the greatest enemies to your soul. You're supposed to keep it out of there. Amen. Worry is basically the idea that you're taking God off the throne and putting yourself there. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. Amen. You got to keep those cares upon Him if you're going to keep your soul clean. How about your relationships? Yeah, that could be soul and body. Amen. God cares about how you operate in your relationships. What about your finances? Listen, my relationships, they're all subject to God. My finances are subject to God. What I do with my spirit is subject to God. What I do with my body is subject to God. Amen. Everything that you are, everything that you have, and all that you can do. Well, think about your body. Obviously, you got to keep your body clean for God. All right? We can go into so many examples. Obviously, the obvious ones, you know, drinking and smoking and drugging and all that stuff has no place in the Christian life. Amen. But your body should be kept pure sexually. You know, your body should be held to a standard of modesty. Are you here? Well, praise the Lord. Everyone's just loving this. Praise the Lord. But how about this when you think of our body? What about the talents that God's given you? What about your ability to serve in the house of the Lord? Amen. You know, what about your ability, you know, to give of your time, give of your talents? Listen, I'm not a very talented person, especially when it comes to like contracting and, you know, you don't want me even hanging a picture in your house. You don't want me painting the wall. You know, you sure don't want me, you know, building anything. I am the worst carpenter, right? But the carpenter does live in me, right? The Son of God, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord lives in me, praise God. You know, and that's who I'm referring to. I don't call Him the carpenter. He's the Lord. You know what I mean? You understood what I was saying there. You understand. Praise the Lord. But I'm just telling you, you know, there's certain things you don't want me doing. But, you know, if there's something I can do, you know, I'm going to use it for the things of God. You know, I told my pastor, you know, when I first started, you know, coming to the church all those years ago, 20-odd some years ago, I said, Pastor, if you want me, you know, cutting the grass, I'll cut the grass. You know, Lord, if you want me, or, you know, or Pastor, I said, if you want me washing the windows or serving, where can I help? And he said, well, you know what? Our youth group could use some helpers. They need, you know, the youth room cleaned up after youth group. And so that's where my wife and I, we just started. We just started serving in the youth group, cleaning up tables, setting up games, you know, just being willing. Anything that we can do, we will do. You know, and then they started asking me to teach some lessons here and there. I had a degree in elementary education. I was a school teacher for 4 years. And so I told them that, hey, anything I can do, I will do. You know, they said, well, we could use some help in our children's church. All right, sign me up. And then one day I was called upon. Dear Lord, we were delivered from it, thank God. But God called me to sing and lead worship. Yes, I know how to play the guitar. And one day the Lord told me to tell my pastor that, and I so reluctantly did. And when I told him that, he just looked at me and he said, yes. That's all he said. One day I just came up, I said, Pastor, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you, the Lord told me in service today that I'm supposed to tell you that I know how to play guitar. And he just turned to me and he said, yes, and just walked away. And I'm like, okay, yes, what does yes mean? Well, I'll tell you what yes means. Yes meant that he called me. And I came out of a worldly life. I was coming out of playing in the bars. I came out of a rough life, you know, not living for the Lord, okay? We'll just leave it at that. And I came out of that life, and I knew a lot of secular music, but I did not know very much praise and worship. And so one day, 2 hours before service, Pastor Michael calls me out of nowhere and says, hey, Tim, can you lead music today? All of our singers are out. And I was like, oh, I said, well, Pastor Michael, I would, I just don't think I know one praise and worship song. This was years ago. This is 24, 23 years ago. Just got saved. You know, I was coming out of the world. I didn't know Jesus for very long. I didn't know any praise and worship. And he just went silent on the other side of the phone. And so we tried again. So are you saying you won't lead music? I said, well, do you want Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers? No, I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. I was like, what do you want, Dave Matthews Band? What do you want, you know? And he's like, could you do anything at all? And I said, I don't know. I make up some songs to worship the Lord with my guitar. He's like, that'll be good. Thank you. Click. And I turned to my wife, who was standing there in the living room, and I said, he's having me lead the music today. And we lived almost an hour away. It was like 45 minutes away. And I had no time at all. And so we rushed over to the drugstore. We got a big piece of cardboard. What do you call that? Poster board. And I just told my wife, I said, here, take a Sharpie, write down what I'm going to tell you. She's like, what? I said, write it down. Because Pastor Michael was like, well, how will we know the words? So literally we bought a poster board, set it up in front of the church. Don't worry, there was nobody there anyway. At that time, it was just getting started in Jamestown. There was like, we were in a hotel conference room. There was like five people there, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying there was. So we set up this poster board, and I just threw a marker to my wife. I said, write down these words. Praise the Lord, glory to his name on high. I just started thinking of every religious praise phrase I could think of. And my wife just wrote it down, and I stepped up to that microphone with my guitar, and I looked at that poster board, and I sang it. It's exactly true. Say, Pastor, was it good? Did the power of God fall? No. The power of God ran out the door and left me standing there all by myself. I'm just like, when in doubt, G, C, and D. Just grab three chords. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I was just strumming that guitar, making it up as I went. And did you feel it? Well, didn't the power of God? No. No, I felt like I was standing in sawdust in the middle of the desert. And I'll tell you what, but you know what? I was willing. Because I told myself, my church has a need. All right, I can do this. Sort of, but yes, but. But you know what? I went up there. I felt dumb. Actually, I'm embarrassed now, still 20 years later, whatever. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's what Paul said. Be a fool for Christ, literally. I did. Everyone was just standing there, you know, everyone, and I mean like a half a dozen of us, and they were feeling my pain. They were feeling the pain more than me, probably. But again, what's the point? If you can do it, if there's something you can do, and I don't mean to be cliche and quote, who was it? John F. Kennedy in his inaugural address in 1960. Remember what he said? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, Pastor Tim, right here in 2026, ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Amen. If you've got ability, see, hey, can you bring up a verse? There's a verse playing on the inside of me. Proverbs 11:24. And we're going to wrap this up here in just a moment, I promise. There is he that scatters, or that word scatters is talking about a giver or a sower. There is one that scatters and yet increases. Isn't that something? The scripture says, see, it looks like you're letting go of something, but it's actually producing increase. All right? And there is one that withholds, thinking that they're going to, you know, keep to themselves, meaning just keep it for themselves. Talk about how we treat God. There are those that withhold more than is meet or fit. They withhold, but it leads to poverty. See, God, you know, he does miracle, you know, he is in the miracle business as we give. It looks like you're getting rid of something, but in God's eyes, you're increasing. And God's going to, you know, multiply that, right? But there are those that hold on thinking that they're going to benefit themselves by just holding on to it more than it is fit. And that way of thinking lends to what? Poverty. Selfishness always leads to poverty. It never blesses anybody, right? And we look at this verse, and so often it's taken as a financial verse. And of course it is, you know, talking about finances. But, you know, so many Christians, they withhold it not just in their finances. You can actually be very generous in your finances, but then be very unwilling to serve or to lend your talents. You know, your abilities. It's not just financial that we can withhold, which more than is fit. We can, you know, we withhold our time. We withhold our abilities. If you can do it for God, do it for God. Do you understand? It's, you know, it's talking about he that scatters. Yes, it's talking about a sower or a farmer, or it's an illustration of giving. Yeah, you scatter, you give here, you give there, you give, and it brings increase. And there is that withholds more than it is meat, but it lends to poverty. But withholding is more than just financial withholding. If the church has a need, step up and fill that need. This is the roadmap. I'll tell you what, you want God's highest and best? Have the heart that the Holy Ghost is trying to give to all of us, a willing heart. A willing heart. You know, I tell you what, I was a worship leader in Jamestown for almost 4 years. And I'll tell you what, I suffered almost as much as the church suffered by having me lead it, you know. And I'll tell you, I never felt comfortable in it. It never was easy. Music is not a real gift of mine at all. Yes, and that's exactly right. It is not. It is not something I'm gifted in. My dad is gifted. Reverend Tony and Reverend Essa are gifted. These singers, and our brother Stephen is gifted, Karen is gifted, Carrie's gifted, and there's more that are here that are gifted in that way. But I'm not one, but I was willing to do it. And I tell you what, I struggled every step of the way, you know, privately, just like, oh, Lord, you know, just really dealing with not wanting to do that. But I was willing. I was willing. Well, Pastor, you know, I know the church needs help on the cleaning team, but that's just not for me. Oh, Pastor, I know this, I know that, I know this. I just don't want to do that. God's highest and best will chase those down who are willing in their heart to serve, even if it brings you no glory. Amen. Are you getting something out of this? Praise the Lord. You know what? I've got more things right here, but if we're not careful, I will preach the everlasting gospel, and I don't want to do that to you. The last few weeks, I've been going a little long. Say, a few weeks? 10 years, Pastor. A few weeks. Well, it just seems like there's been even a little extra than normal, you know, the last few weeks. All that you are, all that you have, all that you can do is it sold out and submitted to God. That's the first step on the roadmap to God's highest and best. If there's things in our life that we are holding back or withholding from God because we just don't want to do it, we don't want to spend that time, don't want to give it, don't want to participate, don't want to serve, that withholding lends to what? Poverty. Decrease. Increase comes from a willing heart. Are you here tonight? This is who the Holy Ghost is. First and foremost, He's working on your heart to make you willing. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love You. We praise You. Father, You are holy. You are good. Before the miracles, before the healings, before the speaking in tongues, before the gifts of the Holy Ghost, before all the manifestations of the Spirit, Father God, we see that You want first and foremost to deal with our hearts. You gave us a new nature. You took out that stony, cold, unwilling, selfish heart, and You put in us a nature that is willing, a nature that will obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, a nature to obey the Word of God, a nature to keep Your statutes and to do them. All that we are, all that we have, all that we can do, Father, we just surrender. We surrender. We yield to You. Lord, you said that there are those that scatter yet increase, but those that withhold and it lends or tends to only poverty. Father God, if we can help our church, we will help our church. Father, we're not here to help ourselves. We're not here just looking for a problem solver. Father, we want to be like You. We want to act like You. We want to think like You. We want to be hungry for You. Father, and I thank You that I'm standing in front of a congregation that is hungry for You. Thank You, Lord God. We bless You tonight. We glorify You. Lord, I trust that you've been dealing with hearts all over this room here tonight, mine included. Father, you are so good, so faithful. With all eyes closed, every head bowed before we're dismissed, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Ask yourself that question right there in the quiet of your own conscience. Have I made Jesus my Lord and Savior? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess that Jesus Christ, with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice, every human being must be saved. That's God's desire. The book of Acts says it this way, there's no other name given to men under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you're asking yourself that question in your own conscience, and if you're sitting there saying, I don't know. If the answer is no, or I don't know if I'm saved, well, I'm telling you, you do not want to risk that. Eyes are closed and heads are bowed. Tonight, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to send somebody after you. I'm not going to chase you down with materials or anything like that. Right there in your seat between you and God, if you say, Pastor, I know that I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll just have you put it right back down. I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Just take that step towards the Lord and say, Lord, that's me. Is there anybody here? Just lift that hand. Just want to make sure. I don't see any hands, so I trust that we're all walking with the Lord. We've made Jesus our Lord and Savior. Notice I didn't ask you how good or bad you've been. I asked you if you're saved. Have you received Jesus? There's people, they'll be like, well, I've been a good person, so I'm good. No, you can't be good enough. There's not enough good works on this earth to get you into heaven. But the good news is there's not enough bad that'll keep you out. If you make Jesus your Lord and Savior and then give your life to him. Anyone here? Just want to make sure. Father God, I don't see any hands, but if for some reason someone within the sound of my voice has never made Jesus their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would not leave this earth until they do. I pray that laborers would be on their path to share the gospel again with them. Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Father, we want the Holy Ghost. We desire him. We want a tender heart. We want to walk in this new nature. We want to be tender. We want to be sincere. We want to be yielding and submissive. Father, we're not trying to forge the easiest path in this life. We're forging a heart that's faithful to you. Father, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? It's the word of God. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet and give God all the praise. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. Father, we're so grateful for your kindness, your goodness. Father, you are the one true living God. You are the God that led Israel out of Egypt. You are the one that brought them across the Red Sea. You fed them with manna from heaven. Father, you're the one that raised your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, that we could be called the family of God. And Father, we just say all together, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.